want me to show you where you're going?
Oh, yeah. Look, welcome to the debrief. Right. We'll go to Stall, apparently.
Stall?
I'm in the car with Evan Hocking. Been on this podcast before.
Yeah, it was a few years ago.
Yeah, and we're leaving the Halls Gap Hotel. We've just done a gig with Tom Seagate.
Definitely Stall or Ararat?
No, they said Stall. To Stall.
Go run it.
But there's less kangaroos.
Quickly, have they got the track ready for us? Turn the lights on.
So we're just down the Halls Gap Hotel. It's Triumph.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. Me and Tommy drove down. We got there a bit earlier than you. I mean, obviously, you're the headline, so you just rock in whenever you want.
Yeah.
And, the great thing, because Tommy bought all his sound gear, because me and Tommy set a lot of gigs up, and we rocked up there, and they already had the sound up, so it was...
That was good.
That's it. The sound. We were saying the sound was...
That was really good.
And the roof... they carpet on the on
quite
the,
a low
on the
ceiling.
Ground,
yeah,
and sort of like the barn, sort of hay on the roof.
What's interesting, I've never been to Halls Gap before, so people don't know, it's in the Grampians, which is like a mountain range past Geelong and Colac, sort of above Warrnambool, that sort of area.
Just past
and
Ballarat.
It's famous at Grampians because it's volcanoes. There must have been old volcanoes, because they're amazing to look at, the Grampians.
They're huge.
The first time I saw them, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
They're huge, they're quite steep.
Yeah, yeah, and they just sort of, it's almost like just Uluru, just poking out of the ground.
Bigger.
Bigger. Except bigger, and people climb.
And people, they were saying it gets so busy at Easter around here.
But they said they had a quiet Christmas period, because everyone was a bit
Worried
about the bushfires.
And there were no bushfires here, but they've been threatened before, I know, in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing Halls Gap.
Yep.
But how interesting is this? The pub is not in the town.
Nah, well, I've been to Halls Gap a few years ago, and I'm going, I haven't seen the town.
No, we haven't been, we didn't go through the town, because the guy said there were a couple, it was built in 93, that hotel.
Oh, kangaroo. No, just joking.
I thought,
I gotcha.
Fuck, you got me bad. I thought, I can't see the fucking kangaroo. Because, of course, they always go, you're not driving home to Melbourne, because it's a 3-hour drive. We're like, yeah. And they're always shocked that we're driving back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I drive from...
Have you ever hit anything in a car before, apart from a
Yeah. Well, a kangaroo hit me once. Like, it came up and clipped the side.
Yeah, right.
But I did a gig in Ildon late last year with the great Christine Basil.
Yep.
And Ildon's the other side of Victoria. And the guy goes, oh, be careful of the wildlife when you're leaving. There's like deers and stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I drive out 10 feet onto the road. There's this massive deer just standing in front of my car staring at me.
Real life buck hunter.
Yeah, real life deer just looking at me like, oh, you want me to move?
They mentioned, deer. They said kangaroos and then some other towns.
And emus.
Yeah. Emus.
How that's exotic.
Like, you've got...
What is this, Jurassic Park?
You've got all the animals off the coins.
Yeah.
Find a few echidnas and platypus.
Yeah. No, I've never... I was coming back from Albury with the Nelson twins, good friends of yours once, and I swerved to miss a kangaroo. And as one of them pointed out, you shouldn't swerve, but it was like a bloody reaction.
Especially, mate, in this car, you don't want to total this.
The golf station
mate.
Wagon.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the other people there. He goes, have you got a bull bar? I'm like, bull bar.
Jesus Christ.
We got nothing. We're so unprotected.
Yeah, so you're saying you're not much of a camper, or you?
No, so they kept asking, because there's a big camping area. I was a scout, my dad was a scout leader.
Yep.
So we used to camp all the time, and we went to places like Buxton and Coldstream, they were fucking freezing.
Coldstream?
Yeah, freezing.
So I lived like 5 minutes from Coldstream.
Yeah, but in the 70s, it was more bullshit. And so we would camp in the winter, and I remember in Buxton it flooded, and my dad... We're lying in water. My dad found Bruce Millwood floating in a creek, still asleep. Yeah, he's Lilo went down the. He was still asleep. Bruce, wake up! Yeah. You're in a flood, mate. So when I met my wife 30 years ago, I'm like, do you like camping? Now her story was her dad was a minister, then a teacher, and so they weren't wealthy, so they used to camp because of that was the only holiday they could afford.
Yeah,
and so she just had months. Like months of camping in caravan parks.
Where'd she grow up?
She's Geelong.
Geelong.
So they would go down Wye River, all those, which are beautiful areas, but she goes, oh, fucking hate camping.
How'd you meet her? Have you said that
met
on
her in,
a podcast before?
She was working as a waitress in the cocktail bar.
Yeah.
No, I met her at the body shop. I was looking for a new body.
True. Yeah.
Looking for a new body.
Bang.
And bang. Walked out with some hair gel and three kids.
Yeah.
So I was at uni and there was a girl called Jo. She worked at the body shop. And so I used to hang around with her and her friends. She said, "You've got to come and meet this girl. I think you really like her. You like the same music." So that's how I met her. I went in and checked her out, bought some hair gel. That was it, mate. How'd you meet your wife? You're getting married soon.
Yeah. So I met her. I was living in Port Douglas. She grew up there. So she was up visiting friends.
That's why you're getting married
That's
up
why
there.
We're getting married up there. And, mate, the whole weekend, I'm surprised she actually wants to see me again. So I met her on the Friday night. There's a thing up there in May. It's called Carnival. So we had the weekend off footy. So it's like big bender. I was obviously single. Friday night, absolutely smashed. I ended up meeting her on the Friday night. And then the next day, they had a cricket game at the local footy ground.
Yeah.
It was the Queensland Bulls Masters. So like Jimmy Marr, Lee Castledine.
Oh, I don't know who they are. But
Queensland Bulls crickets playing a Cairns representative side. Oh. And I'd had like 2 hours sleep and I got straight on the piss the next day, and we were all pissed at the cricket, and I dressed up as Spider-Man and ran across the field and stole a stump. I went up and hugged Jimmy Marr. There's footage of it and everything.
Oh wow.
On like Win News. And I ended up, long story short, I got locked up that day. The cops came and grabbed me, chucked me in the
Spider-Man
in the car. Nah, by that stage I was wearing these bright fluorescent green shorts and a fluorescent yellow singlet. And they took me away. I was in the cell for like 2 hours. And then the next day, I went out that night. They had food and wine night. Next day I saw her again. I couldn't remember her name. What's her name? I thought, anyway, bugger this.
Girl.
I got nothing to lose. I reckon she's hot. I'll go chat to her. And I ended up getting her number. And we sort of exchanged texts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when I moved back to Melbourne, I thought, well, we'll have a crack at it.
Was she aware that you'd been in jail?
Well, she knew, She was at the game. She saw it. She saw all that.
And she's a doctor, isn't she?
She's a doctor, yeah.
There you go.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I don't know how. I did a whole festival show about it.
Yeah. I remember seeing the Spider-Man.
Yeah, because the week after I flipped a car. I was going through a bit of a rough.
Well, that's in your 20s. You just.
Yeah, it's 29, like Dave.
29.
Yeah. So I probably should have known better.
It's a very reckless age.
29's definitely. I was just.
That's more 22 year old behaviour.
It's more 18 year old behaviour.
Tom Seger,
let's be honest.
Who we did the gig with tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll chat to him. We'll get him in the car because he's driving his own car.
Yeah, behind us.
He did some of the most reckless.
Oh.
The country. I mean, you're not country. You're out of suburbs like me.
Yeah.
And we got up to some bad shit. But I tell you, in the country, they got up to even worse.
Oh, mate. Like some of his stories. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That'll be like, oh, yeah, that was Tuesday for me.
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah. Got arrested in a Spider-Man outfit.
Yeah.
Did that when I was 12.
Yeah.
Well, some of the stuff, when you think back, you're like, God, that's why I go to my kids. Like, we got arrested for making bombs. You think these bombs could have easily gone off when we were carrying them?
Oh, no.
And just taken our hands off or.
Yeah, there's no manuals when you're.
There's no internet.
You're working, so and so blew his hand off.
Yeah.
Don't do it like that.
We learned stuff from watching the news. That's how we learned how to make the bombs.
But that was good fun, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Kids aren't making bombs these days, are they?
No, well, somewhere they are, but. Maybe in ISIS they're making bombs, but
people are watching them.
My youngest son would love to make bombs.
Yeah,
he would get right into it, I reckon.
So what year is he again?
He's grade 5.
Okay, right.
So it's a bit older than that normally. You get it. Bomb making is more 14 to 18, 14.
And the pyro, were you a pyro?
No, one of the guys I hung out with was a bit of a pyro, but
we
more were explosions.
We were pyros because Dad used to work for Home Tune. And he got like all these matches. Boxes and boxes of matches in the garage.
I love it.
And obviously the tins of petrol. So we go up behind the garage and just tip petrol everywhere. But we'd burn whatever we fucking could.
Oh, my brother set fire to the house once.
Oh, yeah.
Dad looked under the house and was on fire because Mark had... Unbelievable. Yeah,
it's like a smoker.
Yeah, I don't know what...
first smoker.
What was going on down there? Yeah, smoking some meat. And so what's been... But you're still... I mean, you're a full-time comedian now, Evo.
Yeah, but I've had to... Saving for a wedding, I've had to, every now and then, I get on the tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping out a mate who's a concreter.
Yeah,
a
right.
Pit builder.
Oh, that's so hard work.
Every now and then out in Truganina, the arsehole.
Truganina, we were talking about that. I did Nova Radio this morning.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how to pronounce it properly.
Truganina, some people say.
Yeah, everything's finer in Truganina.
Yeah, I just call it... it's a shithole. But they've got to start somewhere. I'm sure South Yarra was a shithole at some stage.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Sure Double Bay or wherever Malcolm Turnbull lived was a shithole.
Yeah, so in
probably not.
200 years, Truganina.
Will be desirable.
That's, yeah. So, so full-time comedy, a bit of pit building here and there. And
also, your wife's a doctor.
Yeah, but they don't make good coin.
She's got to become a specialist.
She's got to.
You've got to encourage her to get into... obstetrician or eyes and ears.
Dermatologists have got good work-life balance and they do fuck all.
Skin. Is that skin?
It's skin, yeah.
And that's not too gross or anything.
Yeah,
but
she enjoys, at the moment, she's working at Sunshine Hospital in the neonates. So the little preemie babies. She likes that. She wouldn't mind working with the children, but babies.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be pretty
full on though.
It's full on, but then
rewarding.
Rewarding. Yeah, it's great. Like she comes home and she says, "Oh, you know, I induced a baby." I go, "Oh, what's that mean?" She goes, "I got a needle into a vein of this little preemie baby." She goes, "What'd you do?" I said, "Oh,
yeah.
I woke up at 3 o'clock.
Went to Bayswater Footy Club.
And some blokes told me to fuck off." Yeah, I almost got bashed.
Where?
Nah,
you're saying that, yeah, Bayswater Footy Club. I reckon Bayswater Footy Club was one of the first footy clubs I ever did when I started out. It was fucking rough.
Oh, it would have been back then.
And there were young guys constantly leaving to have bongs in the outside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tonight's gig, it looked like a few of the boys up the back. And
yeah.
They weren't on the bongs, but their eyes were looking like bloody dinner plates.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Isn't it funny? You're in quite a remote part of Victoria and they're still on the fucking pingers.
Oh, mate. Do you reckon they'd be any good? They'd be pretty shit down here, wouldn't they?
Oh, you'd reckon they'd get diluted along the way.
Yeah, so they were a bit... They weren't too bad. They were just sort of talking.
Yeah, there was a bit of talking.
They'd sort of filled it out a bit by the time you got on.
So, as you said, I think some of them went home.
Oh, a few of them were just out the front chat. So,
well, at least they had the decency to go outside.
Yeah, I think Sega told them to get fucked.
Yeah, no. Good.
Yeah.
Guys, go outside.
It's always
a thing with comedy. Why are you paying money? $25 to come in and talk.
I guess as well, how many people do you reckon? Not many of them would have seen much comedy.
Nah.
You wouldn't think.
No, also they're a bit of a join-in crowd, weren't they?
Oh, it was like everyone knew.
Everyone knew everyone. Well, it was comedy gob because Neil the baker was there who runs the local bakery. And the funniest thing was, where's your wife? She's at the bakery.
She's at the bakery. Oh, mate.
He was a classic.
Yeah.
I bet you his bakery would be good too.
Oh, yeah.
He was a big lad.
He was. Well, when I was on stage, he just had his arms crossed. And it was like he was real closed off, but he had his legs fucking spread. I saw both his agates. Okay. Mate, he was great.
Yeah, you're baking a few things in your pants, mate.
Yeah, and the bird next to him, she was loving it.
She kept yelling at us.
That's
a good thing about small towns is that it's good they all know each other. And
it was good. Seggy, he got onto some good duck. He was chatting to the crowd early on. And
what about the miner sitting down the front? Ashley, who was a fly in, fly out guy.
And his wife was...
Iranian.
Yeah.
Freshka.
So that was quite exotic
for Hall's Gap.
She was very exotic.
Pretty sure she would be the Iranian community.
Yeah, that's right.
She is for Hall's Gap.
Yeah, so so that was that all went well. As you said, you'd never done Hall's Gap.
I've never been to Hall's Gap. I've done Ararat, which is near here.
Yeah,
and I've done Stall before, but I don't reckon I've done Hall's Gap.
So what are you when you're driving down to Hall's Gap? Your crowd, weren't they? Well, they were there to see you. So.
Well, I reckon they were just there. They were middle age, which is perfect for me.
Yeah.
with some young blokes up the back to hang shit on, the guys on the pingers.
Yeah, who'd you get on to, buddy?
Corey. What a that great is, name.
I think you know, just a hat inside is always a bit of a...
Yeah.
It's a weird...
They wear the baseball hat. But he also had the sunglasses on the hat.
Yeah. And one
day... And he worked for the council.
Yeah. he's probably knocked off at 2 or something on a Friday. Yeah, straight to the pub.
Yeah.
Shelve a few pingers.
Good luck.
And then, let's go to the comedy show.
The fuck is this comedy going on?
There's who he's funny. Yeah, go, buddy. Talk through it all.
So what's how long have you been in comedy now, mate?
Seven years.
How are you going? Pretty good then to be full time.
Yeah, not too bad. I organise a lot of gigs.
I think. But that's a good way to. That's how you.
Well, that's how I first started getting paid.
Yeah.
Like
don't worry, that's what I did. I started organising gigs when I started.
Yeah. So.
Because no one else could be fucked or had the skill set.
Yeah, and I guess as well, like. I started with footy clubs, and they're pretty intimidating for people who haven't grown up in that environment.
They are.
Like, to walk in there and to...
When I first started, I used to shit myself, because I wasn't a footy club guy when I was growing up. I was a member of the Model Rocker Club, not the footy club, and the BMX club.
Yeah, right. So what, and material-wise, were you like, what's this bloke talking about?
Yeah. I mean,
And they would have been rough back when you started.
Oh, yeah, rougher. Mainly men.
Yeah. It's changed a bit.
It's changed. I mean,
well, and netball clubs are involved.
Yeah, nowadays
women's footy.
So you run a lot of gigs, so you obviously give yourself a gig.
Yeah, so how I first started, I'd book Seggy for MC a few, get a support, get a headline, and then I'd do say 10 minutes just to.
Yeah.
So
it's a good idea.
And then you gradually get up to, you got to go right in 450 metres, 400, go right. So, then you get to a point where you build your material, and now I MC them, get a support, get a headline, and, if you've got a bit of extra cash, throw someone up to do 10 or something.
And encourage the young people.
Encourage the young people and some of the older people who are getting into it.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's how I sort of...
Well, it's not an unusual approach, but it's a different approach from most people who have to go through the hell of doing open mic rooms, which you still do.
I still do them, yeah.
But that's all they do often.
Yeah, well, you just got to find, some people want to get famous, some people want to do this, some people want to get on TV, YouTube, or whatever. I thought, man, if I can get on the phones and organise gigs and... Find my own
create
stuff.
Create your own work,
Create your own work. It's a pain in the ass sometimes. And I've organised little tours and that. Like, we went up with Oaksy and Franklin up to Port Douglas, Cairns and Townsville. And you're sort of in 400 metres. Is this right?
Yeah.
City centre, you're going in there. We'll go to the servo.
We'll go to the servo.
Get a bloody, whatever, some sample or some dimming that's been sitting there for 3 weeks.
Whatever it is. I mean, it's not open.
Go in.
Is it open?
BP. It looks open. The lights are on. But nobody's home.
Nobody's home, mate. Is it open again or?
Could be. It could be one of those ones where you buzz and they've got to
Oh, no, there's someone in there.
Throw the stuff through the, I'm all tangled. Yeah.
But yeah, you're doing well there, boy.
Yeah, so I just got it. You know, the breweries. Get on the breweries here. You did a brewery.
I did a brewery the other day with Johnny Katz.
Yeah, and,
And the one where the guy kept yelling out.
The one where the guy, take your wig off.
Your bald cunt.
Your bald cunt. You've got great hair.
Where the guy was in a wheelchair, so thank God.
Yeah. And you were up on steps.
Don't look now, there's a weird sort of bald guy looking. Oh, it's Tom Seger.
Yeah.
Freaking us out.
All right. You better get him.
I'll get Seger on. Thanks for coming on the debrief.
Nah, mate, thanks for having me.
You're back on the debrief, and Tom Seger, the other part of the tour, has got in the car. How are you, Tom?
Very well, thanks, Dave. Very well.
You just had a pie?
Just had a 4-20 meat pie, cooked to perfection.
Because we've done the Halls Gap Hotel, and did you have a meal there? Or?
Yeah, had a steak. It was delicious.
I loved your joke about this. So there's like a cow's head mounted on a bull?
Yeah, it looked like a bull, but it looked very lifelike, and its eyes were sort of... Really followed you across the room.
Yeah, you made the joke of it was staring at it when you were eating.
Yeah, it makes you a bit uneasy. You're sitting there eating your T-bone while the all the cows just watching over you. And it got laughs, so I think everyone might have thought the same thing over the years.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it was actually a good hotel, wasn't it?
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
Absolutely. And you've done it before.
I did, yeah. I did my suburban football show there a couple of years ago, and it went it went really well. So the guy, Matt, who's a ripping bloke, said, we'll get you back with a bit of a crew, which we did, and it was a great night.
It's good fun. It was good fun. But when you do the suburban football, you had a bigger crowd.
Look, yeah, it was, half on about it, but it was, it was bigger than...
Bigger than that.
Bigger than that.
Bigger than that.
Believe it or not. And I know you're thinking that it was a full house. Well, I did it in the big room.
Yes. And the big room's quite big.
Very big. Very big. But that's the suburban footballer for you.
Well, so people don't know. Tom's been on this podcast before, but he does this character, which is very funny. Does he have a name? Like, does he have a...
It's just Tom Seagate, so not real creative.
No.
Or it's Tommy Seagate. But, again, not very creative.
And he is a classic suburban footballer who's probably been playing football too long for his age, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he the coach captain or the...
Well, he was all over the shop and, nothing sort of made sense. There was no consistency, but I just, last Monday, finished writing a book about the suburban football, and at the end I had to did his profile on the back page, so I had to give it all, had to lock in a few facts. So he was 36, he'd been playing at the club for 14 years,
yeah,
and had played like 27 games.
Only 27 games?
Yeah, he was injured.
Or just not good?
Just not good. All in the reserves, and he was sort of, chasing that one little... he thought he'd eventually come good, but it wasn't. Didn't seem to be happening.
Has he played in the grand final? Or?
No, nowhere near it. Never played in a winning final.
But I've seen the character, and it's very funny.
It's been going really well.
And
it's
people, obviously, in footy and sporting, you're doing a cricket club tomorrow night.
Cricket club tomorrow night, yeah.
They relate to it very well.
It's very basic stuff. It's it's just very... Just observations about... I grew up in footy clubs, pretty much. Played my first game when I was probably 9, and...
I've got my high beam on. Oh, the truckie just flashed me.
He is not happy.
Not happy at all. Bloody city folk in their cars.
And, and I'm 41 now, and still went to training last week, so...
Training?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I retired about 7 times. I played my last game... 5 years ago, and everyone knew it was my last game, and I announced mid-season it was going to be my last game because my body was fucked, and last game my parents came, they cheered me off, I carried my son off, I was crying, and it was quite emotional, and I played round 1 the following year, so it was pathetic.
You're like John Farnham.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't he retire, that guy?
It was pathetic.
Well, but hang on, is this for the Caulfield Bears?
For the mighty Caulfield Bears, yeah.
I
bet there's over 35s footy, which a few people
have tried. Masters.
Yeah, or, Masters footy, which a few people have tried to get me along to, but I just feel...
You'd rather play in the younger, with the younger guys?
Just like to wear the Caulfield Bears jumper.
So you'd be playing with 18-year-olds?
Oh, absolutely. So with training at the moment, because it's pre-season, there's always new guys coming along, and because I'm a bit older and I've been there for years, they'll say it started training. There's a new guy, Robbo. He's down from, Wonthaggi, and I'll always be one of the first to go up and say, "G'day, Robbo, how are you going?"
Someone's dad's turned up.
Yeah, how old are you? And they'll say like 18, 19. I'm just like, fuck. I could easily be his dad.
You're like the Gary Ablett Jr. of the Caulfield Bears.
Yeah.
Who's the oldest person playing AFL, you reckon, at the moment? Would it be Gary?
It might be. They don't get very old these days. No,
I think he's like 34 and
that's it. Yeah, yeah. It's because Fletcher was quite old, but he's hung up the boots now.
Fletcher.
Yep, Boomer Harvey was quite old, but he's hung up the boots. I don't think the record's never going to get broken.
Kevin Bartlett?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's making it to 400 anymore. The games.
Games moved on, mate. Games changed.
It's a young man's game.
Young man's game. It's got faster. See, I don't know anything about football, but I hear it all the time.
You hear it all the time?
Because I don't know. I didn't do the routines enough, but my daughter plays footy. She's back in. She had a year off.
Okay.
And she's back into the under-14s Fitzroy's. And this is, we got the grand final 2 years ago, and the coach cried when they lost.
Jeez.
Balling his eyes. Yeah, they get very, and this is girls' football, and they get so involved with the men, the dads do.
Oh, yeah.
Because girls' junior football is full of blokes who have just had daughters.
Yep.
So they've been standing on the side of netball courts for a long time.
Yeah.
Going, ah, oh, this is okay. And that, now AFLW has taken off. They're fucking wrapped, these blokes.
A good mate of mine, his younger brother was playing, might have been under 12s, and they got pumped, as you do, because sometimes at that level it's very one-sided. So they got like, yes, like 200 points, yeah, or something, because some kids are like,
oh, there's
10.
Just one or two guns, yeah, you know, and, like, yeah.
And they got pumped, and the parents dropped the kids off at training, and they came back to pick the kids up, and they were running around, they were 12, all the kids with house bricks above their head. The coach had made them run laps with carrying house bricks. And yeah, he got the sack.
That's no
you
good.
You can't be doing that shit.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But no, it was a good gig tonight. Lovely people.
It's good.
It was really good. Really good. But I'm, the thing I'm finding hardest at the moment, I've given up the beer for 12 months, Dave.
Oh, you're not drinking?
Yeah, and that was a big thing for me, is to get to the gig, set up, and have two beers. Just with it be the president or the publican or,
yeah, right,
or the captain or whoever's sort of in charge, and sort of just ease myself in, and I'm really missing doing that.
Did that help you?
It did, 100%, yeah. No, it just eased me in, and I don't know, I felt like it made me more relatable, or one of the boys, and now I feel like...
like a Christian standing in the corner.
Yeah, and I don't want to go around drinking can of Coke, so I don't drink any, or water, so I don't drink anything, so I end up being really thirsty. So I have like a hidden bottle of water.
Well, you had a Diet Coke with me.
I did, at the back in the darkness of the, I wouldn't have done that shit.
Because there is, definitely when you do footy clubs and pubs, they do push, you can always get a free drink.
Oh, 100%. Oh. And people want to,
they want to
buy
your drinks.
One that buys you the drink, yeah. And,
well, Hughesy, who's well known as a teetotaler, people bring him drinks on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, mate, I don't drink. You bought me a whiskey, I don't drink, mate. They hand him drinks.
Yeah, just bring me $5.50.
Oh, there's a lot of people not drinking now, I reckon.
Oh, 100%. It's,
but why are you doing that, for health reasons, or?
A few reasons.
You've lost weight too.
I've lost a bit of weight. Wanted to do a few things this year.
Not drive home pissed.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always been a really bad binge drinker. I've never been one to go home and have a glass of wine.
Oh, you have a lot.
Wine, or too many, a thousand's not enough. And I just get, I've started to maybe a few times lately, I've just got, you know, sort of blackout drunk, poleaxed again, and it's just,
too
old for that shit. Like, and doing things that if you saw a 21-year-old do it, you go, oh, you know, boys will be boys, but a 41-year-old pissed chucking a beer coaster up into a fan or something, it's like, God, what a fucking loser.
Talking to Emma, and Emma was talking about when he met his wife in Port Douglas, how he wore a Spider-Man outfit. And I was saying, oh man, seeing its stories, though, from Albury, Wodonga, are like, as he said, that would be a Tuesday for you.
Yeah.
Like, some of your stories from your youth are unbelievable.
Well, I did I did Alcoholics Anonymous for 2 years.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, when I was 14. 21.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a nudie run went horribly wrong.
How did it go horribly wrong?
So, long story short, living in Melbourne at the time, went back to Wodonga for the weekend. My mates were, I thought I'd go down and train with a local, my old footy club. It was probably early March, so 40 odd degrees. Got on the beers straight after training, was very dehydrated, and just drank clearly way too much. And I remember it was O week for university, so we thought we'd go over to the local bars, local pubs in Albury.
Yeah.
It was probably 3 a.m. end of the night, thought I'd end in a blaze of glory, and went to the toilets and gave my mate all my clothes, and did a nudie run from the inside the toilet to the front where my mate was going to be standing out the front.
But normally
bouncers
are standing.
No, but people, no, it was pretty loose. It was over with uni students everywhere, and everyone was cheering and yahooing as I ran through the pub. And I got out to the front, and there was my mate, but he was standing holding my clothes, chatting to three cops. And I was like, and I got to him and just went, fuck. And,
clothes.
Another.
Oh, hello, constables. You just hold my.
My mate just knocked my clothes off. So the police officers grabbed my hand, and what I should have done was just, you know, got arrested and nothing would have happened, but I was blind and I punched his hand that was holding.
The cop?
Yeah, punched his hand and so he quite hard and he let go and then I just bolted. And so these three police officers have started chasing me, and I was like 21 or whatever and thought I was reasonably fit, and but one of them was very fit, and he, yeah, we must have run for 2 or 3 Ks, and he eventually, we got to this sort of dead end and he got to the end and I couldn't go any further, and he said, all right, mate, just give yourself up. And I was exhausted, still nude, and he said, give yourself up. And I said, nah, I'm going to get around you. And he said, nah. And so he was standing sort of at the end of this court thing.
Yeah.
And I've run at him. And in my head, I was going left, right, left, right. But in reality, I just ran straight into him and bowled him over. And he grabbed me and cuffed me. And, yeah, so he went back and he took me back to where at the front of the pub, which had shut. So there's probably 400 people out the front of this nightclub and all just watching me get, like, marched back nude. And, yeah, so I went back to...
The crowd sympathetic for you? Or
they? Oh, they were definitely on side. Yeah. But, but it was a bit embarrassing. So I got arrested, got resisting arrest, had to go to court, and... Yeah, so they were going to criminal record, but unless I did Alcoholics Anonymous for 2 years, so...
Oh, that's what you had to do to
so
get...
That's what I had to do not to get a criminal record. So every month I had to go and do this little Alcoholics Anonymous course. They let me do it down in Melbourne. And I wasn't allowed to leave Victoria for 2 years without getting... Because I got arrested in New South Wales. For 2 years I had to get written permission from my AA
counsellor
or whatever. It was a bit... Not a highlight. My parents weren't wrapped.
Your father, the dentist, he'd be bloody mortified.
He was a little bit disappointed. Well, that was one of the worst things. When I was in the lockup that night, they said, "Oh, we'll ring your dad." And I said, "Don't ring me, Dad. There's no point." And he goes, "No, we're ringing my dad." It was like 4 in the morning, and they rung him and they said, "Is that Mr. Seagate?" And he said, "Yes." Like, he'd obviously just woken up, and they just said, "Your son's an idiot," and just hung up. And I said, "What'd you do that for?"
Is that what they did?
Yes, and I thought he's going to think of, yeah, who knows what he's done. So they've been, that's another thing. They let me out, about 8 o'clock the next morning. So it must have been Saturday. People everywhere, and all they gave me was my jocks. So I had my jocks, and I'm just walking down the main street of Albury. Families everywhere trying to hail down. Okay, I haven't got a cent on me, and then got home, and my dad was sitting up waiting for me. He was petrified. He didn't know what.
What
I've done.
Did they say? Did they identify themselves as police or?
Yeah. He said this is senior sergeant or whatever, and yeah, but the day in court was pretty average too. It was not great. No. So that was so I was drunk. I've done fairly binge drinking for a long time. Just thought I'd give it a rest. Wanted to run a marathon later in the year. Wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
Wanted to just be better, more, not have hangovers around. I got 3 sons under 6, and I was probably
hungover
on a Sunday. And
Daddy's got a party headache.
Yeah, Daddy's. Yeah. And then they were starting to know what vomiting was, and look, because I was regularly just throwing up in the. Toilets, I get really bad hangovers. So, and you know, Daddy's had too many adult drinks, and it was just pretty shit.
Was your wife angry?
She would be disappointed. Disappointed. So, probably at the stage where if I stopped it now, they could probably forget. But if I did it for 2 minutes.
Remember when Daddy was a drunk? No, I don't remember that. The oldest one might. Remember when? No, how old's the oldest?
6.
Nah.
Wouldn't remember. Nah. Still got a few more years in me.
Yeah, it's like I used to do a routine about how my son, we were driving past the showgrounds one day, and he goes, "I'd love to go to the show." I went, "Fuck, we went several times of the show. He goes, I don't remember it. I'm like, oh, fuck, I could have locked you in a cupboard. You would have remembered that.
Well, that's another thing. Like, so you're very busy and I'm very busy. And I think what I wouldn't give for a day a month where I got nothing to do, you know, where I could just sit down and write some jokes or just do a bit of, just relax. Yet I will happily waste completely right off 25 days a year, maybe more, definitely more when I was younger.
On the piss.
Or absolutely hungover, just doing, achieving nothing, feeling like shit. So I'm not quitting drinking, I'm quitting hangovers. I mean, I still love drinking, love it. And I love getting blind.
So when you're giving up all alcohol for a year?
Yeah. Look, before we get on the high fives, I'm 6 weeks in. So, and I tried it last year and only got 13 days and then...
Well, you're doing better.
I'm doing better. And I've had a week away in Gold Coast with my boss who's loves a beer. And I got through that, which was, I thought that was going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
So just doing...
Hey, you'll get more work done. You'll feel better.
Well, you hit the ground running first thing in the morning. Yeah. On a Sunday, you achieve stuff.
But also, you often go and do footy clubs where you do a set as yourself.
So I'll do 45 minutes, as myself.
And then have a break and then 45 minutes as your suburban footballer.
Yeah, probably 45 to an hour.
But you wouldn't be drinking that much then, though, would you? Because you'd have to drive home.
Yeah, so I would... And again, my wife actually got me a breathalyzer for Christmas, which was a bit of a waste because I quit drinking. But it would have been handy a little while. So I get there and have two drinks pretty quick. I chuck down two beers in an hour with the president or coach or whatever after I'd set up, and then I would probably sip on two for the next.
Just always have one
and then might finish off with a mid-strength or something. So it would probably be borderline over limit. But
it is interesting because a lot of comedians, well, they either seem to go either way. They're either pissheads or they're just not, they're teetotalers.
I reckon a lot of
comedians just, there are some of them that hit it really hard, like Mick Molloy and people like that who made, that's part of his character.
Yeah.
And there's others like me. I'm basically I drink a little bit, but I can't remember the last time I had a beer, put it that way. So
yeah,
there's quite a few of us that just don't drink at all, really.
I haven't missed it so far.
It's social conditioning, but...
It is. And you've got to, if you go to a party, you've got to, or barbecue, you just stay busy, like be the barbecue guy. Or be the guy in charge of playing with the kids, or you've got to get
there. Sounds a bit sus, but
you've got to get there. You got to get there early, like you got to be there from the start. Whereas you can't, if it starts at 7:30, you can't rock up at 10 when everyone's blind or you're just like this.
Oh, you'll find being around drunk people is very boring. When everyone else is drunk and you're the sober one, it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
When you're the designated driver.
But so far, good.
Well, that's good. Now we should go through the gig. So I'll ask you the questions. What went well tonight and why, Tom?
What went well tonight? Well, as someone that organises a lot of gigs, and I always have, I've got quite a good sound system, and I've got to rock up, and it's usually an hour to set everything up.
Yeah.
And set the chairs up. Then the
people go, you're setting your own equipment up, mate.
Yeah, that's... And you know it's going to be... And when you're trying to pack it up, everyone's trying to talk to you. And we rocked up tonight, and I was unaware this was happening. I had all my sound gear in the car.
You feel good, don't you?
They got a sound guy, and the room was... It looked like a comedy room. Festival room.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect.
Sometimes I have to take sound gear, and I've even gone to footy clubs, and they go, oh, the mic's not great. I try it out, and I go... Yeah, that'll do. Anyway.
I remember...
Instead of lugging stuff out.
I remember once I did... I remember it was with myself and Fiona O'Loughlin, so it was just the two of us, so I couldn't expect her to be lugging the big speakers and shit. So it was on the second story of this footy club. I think it was in Morwell or something. And there must have been 150 people there. And they sat there and watched me. So it was after the game. So everyone was there anyway.
Yeah.
They watched, no one offered to help. I carried, it was probably about 8 runs of carrying speaker by speaker up this.
Because normally someone does offer to help.
Normally. And I normally say, nah, it's all right. You just have a beer. And anyway, so I've carried all this shit up, set it up. Gig went great. Fiona was awesome. And I said, thanks very much. Packed the shit up, and as I was halfway through packing the shit up, the president has just gone and walked in with this cordless mic, this most perfect sound system, and goes, okay guys, we're going to do the Joker poker. And I was like, mate, just fucking no one thought to mention while I was lugging all this shit up the stairs that you have a perfect PA system
just
built
great
into the room. And it just got a huge laugh. I was like, this just joins fucked.
Thanks guys.
Rocked up tonight and it was set up perfectly, which meant we just got to go and they put on it's just great when it doesn't take much, it doesn't cost them much, but they said, what do you want to eat?
Yeah, when they're welcoming.
Had a beautiful steak and it was just offered us drinks and it was just really nice. And and everyone went well, the crowd was great.
Yeah, great.
Everyone went well.
What didn't go well? Trying to think in my stand-up, anything didn't go well.
A few pissed people at the
that's
back,
right,
but they were right. They were young people. I think they might have.
We were talking about this, but the taking pingers,
some ecstasy tablets. Their jaw was a bit all over the shop, and they were.
Yeah, when I got there halfway during Evo's set, they were talking very loudly outside.
Yeah. And it's hard to be angry at those people because they were in such a lovely mood, and they were being so nice. It was just they were just unaware comedy was on.
I'm pissed.
They were pissed and high as kites.
Were there any organisational hazards got in the way?
No. At the start, I think there was a phone that kept going off.
Really?
Yeah, but then I sort of said, do you reckon you can
turn that phone off?
That phone or something. And but it was great. Everyone was lovely. Well, they didn't get as many people as I'd hoped, but
not,
they still...
Not like the suburban football, I mean, he did it.
No, we discussed earlier, yeah. but it was a great night, and they were keen to do it again at some stage, which is always a good sign. And everyone went well. It's always a good feeling getting
it's
in the car when everyone's... everyone's
it's very awkward if someone dies and you have to drive 3 hours.
Yeah. Would you rather be the one that goes shit and has to drive home, or be the one that had a ripper and the person next to you went shit?
Well, no, you'd rather have the ripper.
And just have to cancel the other.
Yeah, but that happened to one of my friends the other day. They drove home and the other person didn't go that well. And it was just all the excuses come out, which you do. I reckon that person did too long before me, and all that stuff.
But at the end of the day, you just had a stinker.
Look, it can happen. I mean, I haven't had a bad one for a while. And I did a year 12, at least the prison. We're in Ararat.
Ugh.
Go visit George Powell. He's in there.
Is
right?
he in there?
Yeah, he's in there, which is, you know.
How long is he in there for?
Oh, for a while. Five years at least. It's not funny, but it's interesting that he's in with all the other pedophiles. And he didn't know most of them because they're all Catholic priests. Yeah, g'day, Gary. Hey, George. Hey,
just a good catch-up.
Yeah. They might have any money, they'd be having Bible classes and stuff too.
Yeah.
Still hanging on to their religion.
Yeah, I think they were just bolted with that.
I did a school on... I never do schools.
Yeah.
I do teachers all the time. I love doing... we all do parent nights and...
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're great because they're all sort of our age,
they're
middle-aged.
They don't
get out. They bloody love
pumped.
It.
Yeah.
We've all got material about kids and stuff. But I did... what was it? Panola College, which is a Catholic college in Broadmeadows.
Nice.
Yeah. Year 12. All the year 12s, 200 of them, and like about 8 teachers. And driving there, I'm just like, what the fuck? What are they gonna... I didn't know. I mean, I've got kids that age, so I don't want to perform for teenagers. I just reckon they're a hard crowd.
There are cops ahead of us before you go and overtake them at 1.
Are they cops?
Yeah, it looks like a police.
No, good on you.
It's not that
imagine
hard to see.
If that's the guy who pulled you over in Albury all those years ago. Tom. Yeah.
Tom, is that you?
I've turned my life around, officer. But the gig for the kids went well. But it was interesting what they laughed at. They loved any hanging shit on the teachers, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But it was that they'd had, you're a Catholic, they had a whole day of reflection.
I'm not Catholic.
Oh, you're not Catholic?
No, my wife's Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, no, I'm far.
You're far, far from a Catholic. Catholic, yeah. I thought you were Catholic. So they'd had a whole day of reflection, and they were some tough kids, and I said to them, you done any reflecting today, boys? No. I said, it looked like you'd done a bit of shoplifting, though. And they had all these candles lit on the table that I was performing in front of. Like, that's a religious...
Yeah.
Sort of thing, and at one stage, one of the teachers yells out, "You're on fire!" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going pretty well," but I was actually on fire. But that gig, I thought I was going to die at. I honestly thought,
I'm
going to go up in front of these 17-year-olds and just die. But they were right.
Well, I feel like you could just get up and say, "What's your name, Corey?"
Yeah, I just hang shit on them. But I know you don't want to be mean. Well, there was a priest there, Coxie, and he was up for any jokes. But then again, what jokes do you do to a priest?
Without
being a... Yeah, bringing up child molesting or... But he was funny. I said, Coxie, how did you meet a woman? And I do the joke I do. Did you send a pigeon to the next village? I go, but then again, you're a priest. You can't be meeting women. And then I said, are there any kids that are a couple here? These guys, they've been going out. How long have you guys been going out? Well, we've been going out for a year and a half. I go... You'll be getting married soon. We can do it now. Coxie's here. That could have good laugh. So anyway.
Oh, that's good.
It's good times, mate.
The best.
How can we do better next time?
Move
it closer to Melbourne.
200 kilometres closer to Melbourne. Yeah, she's a fair hike.
The cops are going to the servo. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. Goodbye.
No, there's nothing you can really do.
That was a very, very good night. Of comedy, they were wrapped.
The publican
and his wife were wrapped. That was great. Everyone
it was good
well.
Fun.
Yeah, right. Always. If I could have my time again, I would do more new stuff. And the gig was perfect for new stuff.
Yeah.
I always think this is going too well to.
But also, there's a part of you go, I'm getting paid. I've got to do my best stuff. But I did some newish stuff. So
yeah, you did. Your new stuff was great.
I never really do.
I'm a bit out of the loop with the getting out and doing stuff midweek. Try new stuff. So I've sort of got to do it at
gigs like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, when you're emceeing, you emceed and did a great job. That's a perfect time to do new stuff because you just go, blah, 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 blah. Oh, then you go, well, anyway, here's the next act, everyone.
Yeah, but I feel like mine are a big build-up and then a punchline, whereas I feel like you can just... It all feels like it's part of the one story, and whereas I feel like if something doesn't work, it's, well, here it is, here it is, here it is.
Oh, it's got to stand out.
That was clearly...
I know what you mean.
Clearly not that good.
You've just got to keep on going.
No rush,
and you're off the booze, so you're going to be much more productive now.
Absolutely.
Much more productive. Well, go and see Tom Seger. He's a suburban footballer. He's booked a lot, but get onto his Facebook page, and... You'll be selling your book through your page?
Yeah, yep. So hopefully that's only a month away. So I'll be selling at gigs and just through my suburban footballer.
And it would be a great present for anyone, man or woman, who's been involved in footy clubs or sporting clubs. They would love it.
They'd love it, yeah. But if not, don't get it. You will not get it. But it's very football-based, 100%.
Yeah, they'll love it. All right, thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having us.
We only got 4 hours to go.